This is URN.
The Drama Show Breakdown.
Now, you may be wondering why I, hello, I'm Ella, why I'm speaking today. The reason is that Joe is not here. We do not know why he's not here, but he's not here. Would anyone like to take a guess at why he's not here?
A new feature of the game called Oh No.
Yes.
Where's Joe?
Love it.
Good idea.
Go.
I believe that somewhere between last Sunday and today, Joe has been abducted by aliens who are intent on recreating the whole seven movies of Star Wars. Well, technically there are 10, but we don't count the Ewok movies or the Christmas special.
Were Ewok movies?
There were Ewok movies, yeah.
Wow, okay. I don't know much about Star Wars, but that sounds fantastic, because they're like the best bit of Star Wars.
Yeah, you don't know much about Star Wars.
No, I don't.
Shots fired.
Yeah. Ewoks are great. They're so adorable. They're like teddy bears in coats.
My dog looks like an Ewok.
Sorry, Jamie. What were you trying to say? What was the point
right,
you were
so
making?
So basically, they have abducted Joe so that he may take part in this because they're looking for actors. Obviously, they're aliens, so they don't have anyone to play the human bits. So they've taken Joe, who will, for the first few bits, first three films, they'll sort of CGI Jar Jar Binks' head over him. But then for the second three, the original trilogy, they're planning on harvesting his head and using his hair on whoever they've got to play Luke Skywalker.
You know, I'd like a radio show because I want to have my own power. I want to be able to create my own skits, do my own stuff, play my own music, and essentially just get a little dictator in me out in full force. I'm optimistic.
Which is the reason to have a radio show, I think, to
exactly
to establish a dictatorship.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I just killed Joe off. That's that, and have taken over.
Don't tell us. Sam's still got to do his thing.
I've got my story.
Oh yeah, Sam. What do you think's happened to Joe?
Well, I think this happened to Joe, even though it's wrong because you've killed him. Thanks, Ella. Is that he watched...
After we killed him in the Christmas episode.
You killed him last time. You don't get to get on your high horse about it.
Well,
you're one all, okay?
He should have stayed dead. But,
wow.
My theory...
If you're listening, Joe, hi. We
Hello.
Love you.
No, we don't.
If he's listening, which he isn't because he's dead, my opinion, where he's gone, is he watched the Oscar-winning film Birdman. He got a few ideas in his head. He wanted to fly. He wanted to be building one of his own flying machines. But unfortunately, he was a little bit too hubristic, like Isaac and Darius, because what he did was...
I'm sorry, those names again, please?
Did I get them wrong? Isaac, no.
Do you mean Icarus?
Do you mean Icarus and Daedalus, rather than Isaac and...
Galileus. Yeah, I got those wrong, didn't I? Well, I'm not a historian. I am a historian.
You are a historian.
Yes, it's different, because Galileo was famous.
I said Galileus.
In that story, it's quite famous because the sun seems quite close to them, and it's enough to melt the wax. But Galileo famously said that the sun's actually quite far away.
Well, he's wrong. It's actually really close. I know that because I get sunburn. But, so what happened was...
Solid
scientific
grammar.
He got very hubristic because he was, like, Icarus and that guy and Galileo. But what he did was he got too hubristic. But instead of flying too close to the sun, he flew too close to the Bermuda Triangle. And he ended the ranks of people like Amelia Earhart and disappeared.
Are you saying any of these names correctly?
No, I'm not.
Amelia Earhart.
Amelia Earhart and the Bermuda Triangle.
The air bit is the easiest part of her name to remember because she flew an airplane.
Well, not very well because she crashed. Controversial, but you know what? I'm going to put my hands and say you should... Should have flow better. Should have flied better.
Flow better.
Yeah, she didn't fly so good. But that's my theory. He died in the Bermuda Triangle.
Wow, that was an anticlimax.
Yeah.
And for even more of an anticlimax, Joe sent me a message saying, "How did you know I was in Derby with Jack?" Reference to the Creative Writing Society there.
Of course, Derby is, of course, the planet that the aliens took him to.
Oh, okay, right.
The planet Derby. He doesn't specify
he's
the
actually
town
had his memories changed to think he's in Derby.
And Jamie wins with Wow Factor by 1 point.
He then sent a message saying, by the way, I'm not actually in Derby, as if we thought he really was. So I said, where are you?
Why is he trying to be all
that is for you
secretive
to work out. So we still don't know where Joe is.
How mysterious.
He's an enigma wrapped in a mystery.
No, he's not. He's
in
just...
a weird haircut.
He's an enigma.
Weird haircut. I was going to mention something
like
that. Thank you, Brianna, for offering that this is URN. It is indeed URN, and you are listening to The Drama Show. Mm-hmm. With me, Ella, because Joe is somewhere and we don't know where. But he is listening to the show. I don't think he likes where this is going because we just played Thunderbirds. Excellent request there, Jamie.
Thank you.
And now we're going to move on to So Many Lies.
I wasn't here last week.
So far, it's one each for
last
this semester.
Last week was me.
And I was the week before.
Well, hopefully not.
This is going to be tense today.
She feels empowered. That's not what the tally chart on the wall of my
bed. She has her sleeveless shirt. She's so empowered. She's so ready.
She's going.
Brianna's been taking the mick out of me today because I'm wearing a vest top.
No, I'm not taking the mick out of your vest top.
Yes,
I'm complimenting it.
No, you're not. You're doing it in a very, very...
sarcasm.
Cool way.
Sarcasm is the way that we show affection in Britain.
She also stole my phone and hid it on top of a game machine.
I didn't steal it. I hid it. There is a difference.
Okay, so
on the subject of Ella's sartorial choices, if you look in the studio exclusively at Sam and Ella, who incidentally should get together and form a food critic band.
Oh, no, we don't have to. I used to sit next to a boy called Sam in maths, and every lesson for like 2 years, the teacher would go, oh, Sam and Ella, ha, ha, ha. It gets old really quick.
Same with people going, oh, Jamie drew a picture. Aha!
Yeah, I don't have that problem with my surname.
No.
Latest input from Joe, hashtag positive vest top. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, it's almost like it's America in here because Ella has the right to bear arms.
Ooh, shots fired. That was so good.
Just like
shots fired from her guns that she has.
You know what? That was people suffer.
Yeah.
What is wrong with you, Sam?
I know. It's not. I know.
Calm down now.
That's political commentary because America is bizarre.
All
right. Right, Jamie, would you like to proceed with your So Many Lies script?
Go.
When it comes to Lego, everything is awesome. And speaking of awesome, let's talk about Rick Astley, who is yet again the subject of my talk.
Oh, I'm slightly in love with you, Jamie.
Obviously, I'm kidding. Today I'm talking about Lego, in which Rick Astley may or may not feature.
Oh, I was so excited then.
I'm sorry.
Well, you need to calm down.
As it stands at the moment, Lego's doing rather well for itself. Some facts, only 18 out of a million Lego bricks that are made ever go faulty. Lego makes more plastic tyres, or rubber tyres, than anyone else, in fact. And on average, every person owns 86 Lego bricks. You might not know where they are, but they know where you are. And they're watching you, just waiting for you to step on them.
Wait, Waka Waka, is it true about the rubber tyres?
It is true about the rubber tyres.
Yes! The
Lego tyres make more than any other tyre company, including Goodyear.
That's incredible.
And Michelin.
Yeah, well,
continue.
On that subject, every year, over 100 people are taken to the hospital for injuries involving stepping on a Lego. Lego responded to this statistic by releasing official Lego brick shoes for you to wear. Okay.
Because you paused. Now I'm thinking, is that true? But then you wouldn't be that helpful, so I'm not going to buzz there. I don't think that's true.
Do it.
No.
The sleeveless top gives you power. Do it.
No. Yeah,
do it.
I'm not going to give in to
peer
pressure.
You don't get minus points, do you?
Yeah,
but he gets a point if I buzz in incorrectly.
But you don't get minus points.
You'd be neck and neck still.
This is a positive game.
Jamie, continue.
With a positive vest top.
But on to Lego's other achievements. Lego have built toy sets for everything from Mario Kart to Twilight. And in 2013, a working internal combustion engine of over 211 horsepower has been produced by using only Lego bricks. In addition, 13 Lego kits have been in space. What's more, in the 80s, noticing their decline of moon missions, Lego company offered to help NASA construct a space elevator out of Lego bricks to make moon travel easier, but NASA officially rejected the proposal, but nicely. And then, of course, there's the Lego Movie, famous for its light-hearted comedy, its signature theme tune featuring lyrical input from Rick Astley, who has also provided voice work in smaller Lego games, and in which no one ever says the word Lego due to a strange copyright quirk.
Waka Waka. Ugh. I don't think anybody says Lego.
No one says Lego in the Lego Movie.
Oh.
Not once.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Sam was just distraught.
Well, they don't know that their whole world... Well, they.
That's
one of them learns that their whole world is just a children's plaything.
Sorry, everybody.
So they don't go into an existential crisis as a result of that, which I think, you know, speaks well for their mental health. The Japanese division of Lego, also called Lego, together with Lego Mindstorm, is trying to work on a Lego-based artificial intelligence. However, we have not had any positive results so far. So anyway, with the artificially intelligent Lego and the fact that there's now a Lego person for every human on the planet, coupled with the fact that they still don't get to vote, well, maybe that's why Lego people are just getting angrier and angrier every year. Other reasons
might... Waka Waka. I'm sure I read somewhere that like they were getting... increasingly something, but I don't know whether it was increasingly small or angry.
Ooh, she's hesitating.
Increasingly something.
She's hesitating.
Are they getting angrier every year?
Are they?
Unbelievably, they are.
Yeah, oh my goodness!
The original Lego people all had the same face, which was smiley, but as more movie sets and video game related tie-ins have come in, you now get more faces with grumpy features on them.
That's incredible. It's like cream eggs getting smaller every year.
Well, that's just
that hasn't been empirically proved.
Until they change the chocolate, which I'm sorry, it's coming up to Easter, and now I'm just angry about
cream eggs. Cream eggs are on sale, and it is a wonderful time. It's making up for the lack of mince pies.
I don't like the new ones because they changed the chocolate, so now they're not even Cadbury's cream. They're not Cadbury's chocolate.
Flipping Kraft. We're on Team Kraft.
Oh, it doesn't taste. Sorry, that's not the point. That's just me.
As a token American, Brianna, this is all your fault.
Yeah.
Why is it my fault? Because American. I've never even had a cream egg.
You should. They're fantastic.
Yeah,
they were anyway.
Yeah, I might.
Other reasons might be that among the more controversial LEGO sets available for purchase are LEGO Breaking Bad, LEGO 50 Shades of Grey, available only for a limited release, a playset of Miley Cyrus's Wrecking Ball music video, and even a minifigure of the Go Compare Man.
Is that why we were talking about the Go Compare Man earlier?
I may have seen a factoid that I felt was relevant.
See, now I'm trying to think, did I bring up the Go Compare Man in the conversation like kangaroos last week? Because I'm actually psychic, I think we've established. Is there a figure of the Go Compare Man?
There is not.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Brianna, stop taking pictures of yourself and give Jamie a point.
I'm taking a picture of you in your positive vest top.
Nice. Give Jamie a point nonetheless.
Yes.
But can we use that as evidence for the fact that I may actually be psychic? Because last week I started talking about kangaroos randomly and your lecture was on kangaroos. And week I was talking about the Go Compare Man.
Maybe not psychic, but maybe Jamie will just subtly mention something and not realise it's his So Many Lies script. And you'll...
No, but
I think if you were psychic, you'd sort of be able to tell when I was telling a lie a bit better.
Yeah, okay, so yeah. I can't control the power yet. Okay, carry on. I'm not psychic. I'll just go and cry about
Burn.
That.
Future projects include edible Lego, a cinematic release of a full-length stop-motion movie, sets for Bob the Builder and Thomas the Tank Engine, a Willy Wonka-style golden brick competition to allow access into the LEGO design facility in Denmark, and, of course, a complete overhaul of the human race to be replaced by our LEGO overlords.
Right, waka waka. One of those is true. Not the human race being overthrown by LEGO. I doubt that's going to happen in the near future.
Admittedly, that's not on their planned releases. That doesn't mean it might not happen.
Let's go for the Willy Wonka style golden brick.
That's a lie, I'm afraid.
No!
There we go.
With that,
maybe I'm not psychic. So what were the truths, Jamie, that you smuggled past so cunningly?
I think I put them in the first three things so that you'd only one of those was true. I was being really quite smart. Only 18 out of every million Lego bricks produced are faulty. And they've been made by the same method since 1932. So literally every Lego brick can fit together with every Lego brick, even though they're several decades apart. On average, every person in the world owns 86 Lego bricks. There are billions of Lego bricks.
I was thinking, how many do I own? But that's not how averages work.
that was going to be one of my original ones, saying Ella owns 86 Lego bricks. You were just going to go, I don't. And I was going to say, statistically, you do.
Brianna, just before we move on, what do you call the plural of Lego? You have one Lego, you have three...
Legos.
Yeah.
No.
That's what Joe thought you might call them.
Joe, you're correct.
You've been proved correct.
Why is Joe commenting?
They are officially Lego, just on its Lego. It's like sheep.
It comes from the
Denmark word for let's play.
Yeah.
Lego.
It's Lego. It's Lego, but... Americans say Legos.
Okay, Lego.
Which Joe wanted
script,
you to be mocked about.
Lego, it goes.
I'm not being mocked. Did
Joe just phone in
Joe
to mock something
to
that Brianna may or may not believe?
Yeah.
Did you have to trick her into saying that so that Joe could mock her for something that he didn't necessarily know for sure about
her? That's so stupid.
What the hell, Joe?
Whoa. What I love is potentially I could be making all of this up and just pretending and Joe sending messages in. Whoa!
That would be really,
levels, guys.
Really weird.
Ella, hand us your phone.
No. Right, I'm going to read my lecture now.
Congratulations.
Because basically I realised last week that I only do well at this game when I do something that I know a lot about already. Rather than researching things. So the last time I won, I did it about the greatest band of all time, which was Bon Jovi. So now I'm going to do about the greatest movie of all time, which is The Princess Bride.
Yes. Here we go.
I appreciate this.
The Princess Bride is officially the greatest film of all time. And that's a fact.
Buzz, Is that a fact?
No! Ah! I thought I would try and catch up because I did the same thing with Bon Jovi.
Yeah, so...
Sorry, Jamie.
I just wrote down the funniest point I've ever given. That was so great. Okay, continue.
Inconceivable.
The idea for the original novel came from William Goldman, who, obviously inspired by the wonder that is John Finnemore's Tall Tales, asked his two daughters what he should write about. In response to their answers, he said, "Since one of you asks me for a tale of princesses and the other of you asks me for a tale about brides, I believe I have a story that will satisfy you both." And so began The Princess Bride.
Is that true? The Princess and the Bride? They both asked for...
He did ask his two daughters what he should write about, and they said princesses and brides, so... He wrote about The Princess Bride.
I'm loving the fact that John Finnemore's coming up more and more frequently. Can we just replace communism with him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
No, he's not a political ideology, I'm sorry.
He is now.
He's a member of Britain's silent majority.
I love John Finnemore. Yeah. If you're listening, John, we love you. Anyway, of course, it does rather throw a spanner in the works that actually Goldman ripped the entire plot off Simon Morganson's classic satire of European royalty. Goldman maintains that this is actually fiction and that the story about his daughters wanting a fairy tale is true. Admittedly, the daughter's excuse is nicer, but it fails to completely mask the fact that Goldman is a blatant thief and plagiarist, much like how the Man in Black's literal mask literally fails to mask the fact that he's actually the real Dread Pirate Roberts.
Okay, I've read The Princess Bride, and I know that he says that it comes from someone else's work. But, and it took me a long time to understand this. I was caught in an existential crisis. But he does claim to copy someone else's work. He's already translated it, and he's taken out a lot of the stuff about all of this. But
she's breathing heavily.
Is it true that it's true that he claimed to have taken it from something else? But that in itself is a lie. I'm not sure how to respond to this. Can I just say, okay, it's true. It's true. It's all true.
It is indeed.
There is a
clause there that says Goldman maintains this is actually fiction, which is correct. You really should read the book. It's fantastic. It's the greatest book ever written, in my opinion. Stop stroking the microphone, bro.
And when's Stephen King's sequel of it coming out?
Oh, that's brilliant. You make us of all this. It is a fantastic book. And he claims that it is an abridged version of Simon Morganston's book. And actually that entire thing is background... Still, it wasn't until the film version was released in cinemas that The Princess Bride really became a huge success. They had planned to adapt the novel into a movie musical in the late 1960s, which would have featured musical legends Howard Keel and Doris Day as Wesley and Buttercup respectively. This idea was later scrapped when it was revealed that the two stars had fallen out so badly on the set of their earlier movie Calamity Jane that they refused to even enter the same room to discuss their contracts. Goldman claimed that he hated the idea of a musical anyway, although later sources revealed that Simon Morganston was entirely in favour of it and had been set to cameo as one of the ROUSs. Speaking of the ROUSs, that's ridiculously overpaid underworked sellouts for those of you who don't know. The majority of the complications that came during the filming process when the movie was finally commissioned came during their one scene in the fire swamp. It ended taking up almost 2 months to film this scene after disaster occurred. Robin Wright almost drowned in quicksand. Cary Elwes singed off his eyebrows, not during the scene itself, but while carrying his 96-year-old grandma's birthday cake covered in candles. 6 actors were injured, having been thrown off horses that spooked when they were near fire. Andre the Giant broke his leg, having been run over by his own golf cart after Elwes temporarily hijacked it. One of the actors playing an RUS had to be bailed out of jail at the last minute. Director Rob Reiner ruined multiple takes by screaming each time a character was deliberately set on fire. And 2 weeks' worth of footage was lost after one of the production team totaled her car, crushing the film reels in the process.
Okay, right. One of those has to be true, but there are just too many. I know the odds are against me in guessing which one of these it is.
Mm-hmm.
What if none of them are actually true and that she's tricked you?
I have done that in the past 2 weeks.
As in sort of an inverse, when you tricked her by putting all these things at the beginning.
Which one are you going for,
I remember
Jamie?
Sort of when I rewatched The Princess Bride, I'd just come out from watching House of Cards, and it just struck me that can't be the same woman that's playing Buttercup and Mrs. Cary Elwes singed his eyebrow.
No, that's a lie.
Point.
Do you want to try again?
No!
Okay. Only Mandy Patinkin escaped from harm, his only injury being that he bruised his ribs laughing at other actors.
Buzz, is that true?
Yes! Ooh. He claims that his only injury in the entire film was laughing too hard at Billy Crystal's scene. It's just a beautiful image. As you can see, it didn't go well. At one point, they even considered cutting the scene from the film altogether, but Goldman insisted that it was an absolutely pivotal moment in the plot. When asked for evidence, he promptly blushed and ran away, unable to remember why Morganson had included the scene in the original novel. All in all, though, The Princess Bride is an influential, emotional, exciting story with more twists and turns than one of those little roller coasters for children who are scared of roller coasters. Other than the dramatic reveal that neither of the sword wizards are actually left-handed, nor in fact wizards, the plot remains at a steady pace. Nevertheless, it is considered a beloved film by many and has truly become a classic among those who don't have actual lives to lead. Rob Reiner revealed in an interview that the only people who talk to him about the film are creepy loners, young hipsters, and mob bosses who tell him that he killed their father, prepare to die, in bad attempts at European accents. Although the fact that Reiner hasn't been seen since suggests that maybe that didn't really have anything to do with the film after all. And that is my lecture.
Congratulations. So how many of those truths did you pass?
The truth in the long list of accidents was that one of the RUSs actually had to get bailed from jail at the last minute. One of the actors playing Wong got into a fight with his wife and burned down the kennel they owned, so the film crew bailed him out of jail. So that was one truth. And then Reiner once ran into mob boss John Gotti and six of his men outside a New York restaurant. One of them looked at him and said, "You killed my father, prepare to die." Then burst out laughing. So I smuggled two truths past.
That must be a close game.
So, Brianna, put us out of our misery. Who is the winner?
Jamie. You have 7 points.
Oh, so, that was a cruel thing to
I'm
say.
I'm so nervous.
Ella. You have 8 points.
8 points! Get in!
Oh, close.
The Princess Bride has
you
worked its
just...
win.
Who won? Jamie! You have 7 points. What the...
Today, we are picking three things we do not like and want to put in a bad room about our dear departed host, Joe.
You're welcome, Joe.
Is he dearly departed?
Well, no.
That's
he's
what
actually,
we're going to decide.
He's gladly departed.
So, so, Sam, why don't you tell us what you want to put in the bad room about Joe?
I want to put in the bad room the fact that he runs the drama show even though he's technically dead to us and to society at large.
at large.
I will continue to explain why. It's because essentially I don't think we should have a dead man running a show. It's not very like it doesn't work, because let's say that we let say I don't know Churchill run the country even though he's dead. How would that work? How would he appoint a cabinet? And how can Joe be running this show, telling us what to do, calling the shots, making the calls, when he is technically not here with us? We assume dead. He's been texting us, allegedly. We don't know if a homeless man has found his phone.
Not texting us, harassing us.
Harassing us. We don't know if a homeless man has found his phone and, like, started messing with our heads. We only have, essentially, Ella's word on it. Sorry. This is the drama show, not the, "Oh, my name's Ella, I do English."
The lack
show.
Of appreciation for Ella right now.
No!
Like, she's the
hey,
only
guys,
one who knows
positive
buttons.
Vest top.
Yeah.
Negative suit jacket.
Negative suit jacket.
I almost had a waistcoat today, but I was like, no, actually, not a waistcoat
no,
today.
No, negative handkerchief. I think that would be more appropriate.
Exactly. I've got there neutral burger socks.
I challenge you to a duel.
Burger socks? He's got burger socks.
Oh,
wow. Got a burger
great burger socks.
This makes excellent radio.
Because they can all see this.
Jamie has now got his foot on the desk showing us his socks.
I'm quite the acrobat.
The bright red with
and now I'm putting it behind my head.
Exactly. Ooh. Ooh, that's amazing.
Brianna.
Pow, pow, pow.
What do you want to put in about Joe?
His haircut. It was so long and original. And he's cut it off. And, I mean, what a disgrace to just want to fit in like everyone else.
For those of you who have only heard the drama show on the radio, I feel I should chip in that Joe's haircut is rubbish. And it's a totally justifiable source of ridicule.
I don't know. I think it's pretty nouveau, pretty en vogue.
It's a bit Rapunzel-y.
Bit lovely. I don't know. You know... Joe's dead now, and that's bad about him, but I'm glad he has his hair cut. I think it, for example, makes our haircuts look better by comparison.
He provides an invaluable service in that way, yes.
Jamie, what do you want to put in about
Joe? I think that Joe, and I hope he won't mind me saying this, but I mean, every time I come around to his house, he's always very upfront about his Satanism, and he's always just sort of preaching it in my face. You walk in, there's the pentagram with the dead priest on it, and it, it's just that you sort of walk in, it's right there, and it's in your face. And I mean, you know, I try to be tolerant of people's religions, but, you know, I mean, we've had to take down the satanic altar that was up there.
Exactly.
I mean,
when
he's here, we all have to sort of form a pentagram with our arms. We have to stand there and chant before we can actually begin a broadcast.
And the creepiest thing is that all the paintings and sort of sacrifices he makes are with his own blood.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he asked for some of mine the other day, which I felt was a bit far. I mean, you know, I respect your choice, but I mean, it's my blood, really. It's I mean, how many goats does he get through every year?
This is very difficult because
if you pick hair, then that's just you just parred them out, like, actually for serious, and, you know, that'd be pretty deep. That's sad.
That's on you. If he gets a haircut, that's on you. The £10 to £15 he paid for that haircut.
That's on you.
Well, I don't mind his haircut.
All right.
So you're welcome, Joe. I know how
she enjoys those horns.
Oh, don't act like this wasn't all your idea.
I know. I know how much your haircut means to you. So I won't put your haircut in as appalling as it is. I have made my decision now, because, like, the Satanism at least brings us all together, whereas the dictatorship just means that we all have to bow before Joe and, you know, accept his music choices. So I'm going to put in Joe's dictatorship into the bad room.
Yes, they win.
Congratulations, Sam.
Thank you.
So we are going to have a quick game of Would You Tell Me the Truth? Yeah. I'm going to go to Jamie first.
I once misunderstood the point of a hammock so much that I made one out of books.
Brilliant.
Could you go into the logistics a bit more?
Do you mean what sort of books?
Fiction,
mostly.
Hardbacks or paperbacks?
Hardbacks on the bottom, paperbacks on the top, so it's softer.
What did you think a hammock was?
Well, I was aware that a hammock was sort of... you know, a concave shape that one slept in, but I didn't realise that most of it was empty space and it was just a blanket that's suspended from two points.
Okay.
And in lieu of a blanket, I just built lots of books to provide the concave shape underneath me.
How old were you?
Somewhere between 3 and 7.
Okay.
I wasn't a master of maths at the time.
You don't have to be a master of maths to know how old you were.
Did you know the word?
The word hammock.
Like, it was just the word hammock. That was the sole information you were going on. Where did this word of mouth come from?
I knew what I sort of knew what a hammock was. I knew that it was not quite a bed, but basically a bed that you slept in.
Okay.
And yet you thought books were a good idea.
If I'd only just heard the word hammock, I'd think food. I'd think like a weird sandwich.
You think like
hammock. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, like haddock.
Yeah, precisely.
Wow.
But with ham.
Should we make our calls then?
Yeah, so, Sam, what are you saying?
It's false, it's not true.
I'm going to go with lie, yeah.
I don't think it's true, but I feel like we need some balance, so I'll go true.
It is true.
Oh. Yes!
Oh, darn.
Why did you do that?
Curses.
I wanted to build a hammock.
Oops.
I was an adventurous child. I was sick of my landlubbery life, and I wanted to live the life in the high seas.
I once wept in the arms of Mikhail Gorbachev.
Wow.
Did you know that we have a communist theme, or is this just coincidental?
I mean, Sam is in the room, so I thought he might, you know, enjoy it a bit.
I appreciate that.
Although Gorbachev is, you know, the least favourite amongst...
No, actually, that's Boris Yeltsin.
Okay, I'm interrupting this because
we have questions to ask. Why were you upset?
Well, I was scared of him. He was a big, scary man to me.
So you thought it'd be a good idea to hug him?
I thought his name was quite scary as well. It had
Gorbachev!
Had lots of, like, nasty syllables in it.
It sounds like a Pokemon, doesn't it?
And he was wearing, you know, like a Victorian schoolmaster sort of get-up. He looked really odd.
Was he trying to teach you Latin as well?
A little. A tad.
Nice.
You know, as he does.
Where did you meet him?
It was at like a primary school talk. I went to a VVVV posh primary school that had Gorbachev come along now and again, and various other people. We had like Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart as well.
See, Ian McKellen came to do a talk at a secondary school near where I live, but he went to like all the posh ones and then skipped mine altogether. Yeah. I didn't go to a posh enough school.
He's a real sleaze bag.
What are we saying to this?
It's true.
True. Jamie?
I don't know why you'd pick Gorbachev if it wasn't true. I think you'd go for someone else, so I'm going to say true.
Again, I'm going to go with a lie.
Yeah,
what do you mean again?
Absolute
we've had one
nonsense.
Thing
it's like opposite.
Gibberish. Never happened. Of course not.
I didn't even go to a posh school.
Like, see, that was the flaw in your story. Like, you didn't go to a posh school.
Yeah.
On one night of misadventure, I'd gotten to the point of no return in terms of drinking and whatever have you.
Now, I think this is a lie because you have since returned.
Damn, you got me.
Foiled him again.
But what happened was that I accidentally whipped myself into a paranoid state. I thought that people were following me everywhere and that the only way out of this was to call 999. I called the police and also an ambulance service. And when I sobered up a little bit and gotten out of that state, I realised what I had done and hidden a bush exactly where I had called them so they wouldn't find me as they sped on past.
Okay, why would you call an ambulance if you just thought someone was stalking you?
Because, you know, I was scared and wanted every single sort of, like, emergency service behind me.
They also offer other emergency services.
Did you not fancy calling the Coast Guard?
Damn it.
You were not as far inland as I was.
Well, I was
Ghostbusters.
I was so far in the drink that I should have. But I only thought of the ambulance and also the police service because, you know, I knew that I was on fire, but I knew that I wasn't feeling that particularly great.
Who did you think was stalking you, and why did you think they were stalking you?
Well, to be honest, I was completely wasted. I don't even remember like tertiary details. I think everyone was. It was sort of like one of that sort of. It's so sort of stupid that only someone who is completely off their head can actually imagine. Anyone from like the old men on the bus to just like hoodies walking around on the streets, because this was in central London. I thought that everyone was after me. I thought that I was me against the world, and that's essentially who I thought was stalking me. The society.
Yeah.
Gorbachev.
Just all of us.
Yeah, all
just
of
in a line.
Yeah.
Single file.
Right, what are we saying, guys?
It's like a conga.
Lie.
Yeah, it's a lie.
I think it's a lie.
Well, the thing is, it's a lie because I didn't do it.
Who did?
It happened to my mate Leon. It happened to him, not me. I used his story because I thought, maybe, but then you got me. You called my bluff. Well done, everyone.
This is URN.
The Drama Show Breakdown.